This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
What a weekend. Am I basketballed out a little bit? I watched a lot. And I just kind of shut her down for 4 days. I wasn't even tweeting or being active in the sports world that I live in. I was just dialed in. And after last night, final game of the night, I couldn't even finish. And I just maybe need a break. Need a little bit of a break. 4 day break. But we'll talk about it. Basketball upsets. Nuggets are back, and they are back. And a former Colorado Buffalo quarterback had some interesting things to say about CU. Why does that have everybody freaking out the last few days about Coach Prime and the coaching staff? The whole show, Michael, starts now. After the 11 o'clock hour, welcome into the show. I am Brady Hull, back after a few days. We were off on Thursday, off on Friday, because courtesy of Westwood One, we were able to air all things college basketball here, starting around 9 o'clock for preview stuff and 10 o'clock. It was great. We had all of our watch parties that were an absolute success, and I love meeting people. I enjoy meeting people. I enjoy conversing with the listeners, with the hooligans, with great supporters of the station, whatever. But I am, even though I'm a radio guy, I am not as a, I'm an introvert probably more than I am an extrovert. And it wears me out a little bit. Wears me out. So by the time I get done with all that, I'm ready to just be a vegetable in front of the television screen and watch hoops. But man, it was so much fun. Seriously, it was like during the process, it was great, and just talking to so many great people, it is fun, and I do enjoy it. But I'm telling you, once I get over it, once I get home, I'm like, okay, shut her down, Michael. Let's do this to start off: the good, the bad, and the ugly. Maybe are we going to get to that? The good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. For more, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFK. Michael, the good. How you proud of me, bro? I won. I won the race. The epic race of the century inside of a parking lot. Found a way. I dug deep. Took care of him. 1-0 in official competitions against Tanner Schwint. Does that mean I'm undefeated? Absolutely it does. That's the good. The bad for me was the pain after. It's still a little sensitive under the butt region, upper leg, lower butt, somewhere in between there. Don't think I pulled it. Something tweaked for sure. And even sitting down, I might just stand up and do the rest of the show today, Michael. That wasn't great. The ugly for me, have I just been so buried with Nuggets, March Madness, start of the Rockies, Avalanche that I didn't even know there was a flag football game against, like, Team USA against former, current NFL players, and they actually got smoked by them. And there were people that said this was an embarrassment for the NFL. They should have never signed up for this. So we'll get into that a little bit later on. I didn't even know that was a thing. And apparently, it was a thing. That's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. What a weekend, Mike. Yeah, Thursday, all the madness started off. Well, I guess we raced it around 11 o'clock. And it was good. I did not stretch. I thought I would be okay. Should have stretched. Lesson learned. start of the race. I also didn't start in a down position. I started just standing straight up. I kind of regret that, but I also didn't want to slip. And then, you know, the race started, and I think I was initially shocked at how quick Tanner was out the gates. It's like, okay, he's faster than I thought he would be. And then as the race progressed, he kind of had me. And I honestly, Mike, I just stopped screwing around, bro. You know, you ever see the tortoise and the hare? You know, the hare's just... Now, ultimately, the tortoise wins, but I don't have enough of that arrogant hare in me that I can pull back and then realize it's go time. Halfway through the race, man, I'm like Bugs Bunny out there, you know, just running around, taking it easy. Tanner's trying really hard. And then at the end, halfway, 75% through the race, I was like, okay, he's... Poor feller, he's trying hard here, but it's time to quit playing with my food and put this one away. And I did. I get to the finish line, and it was, you know, his family's there and everybody. So for the cameras and stuff, I was like, yeah, he's a really good competitor, and I thought he had me. It's all a lie, Mike. I had him the whole time. It was never in doubt, and we are now 1-0. In competitions against Tanner Schwinn. We'll see what's next, but I got it done for the whole show, Michael. I did it for this thing that we do every day. We needed the bragging rights.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what's next. Is it going to be a chess game?
A chess game or a chest game? Well, you like bench press. Okay, chess? No, we're not idiots.
I like chess.
I actually like chess.
Thank you for calling me an idiot.
I'm sorry. I actually
I was going to say, if you wanted to play chess, I do have a Lego chess set in my office.
Do you really?
You've seen it.
This is the first I'm hearing of it. I've never heard that before.
I do have a different Lego chess set at home.
I actually like chess. I'm just terrible at it. I don't do a good enough job of thinking of, you know, you have to think several steps ahead. I am definitely a now moment kind of guy. Ooh, I could take that person out. What's going to happen if I move? I don't know. But I actually do enjoy the game. I'm just not very good at it. But Tanner would probably be worse at it, I think, right? Maybe?
I don't know. It depends on if he's played.
Well, a couple of things I think we want to try to do. He's throwing out ideas like UNC baseball. Like have one of their pitchers pitch to us. We each get 10 times.
It's got to be softball.
I have voted that one down because I don't want to get hit in the face. I'm not a baseball player. I played 1 year of Little League, and it just wasn't for me. Plus, Dad's like, hey, you could do that, or you could drive tractor all summer. Which one would you rather do? I don't know. Good. I'm glad you'd like to work here in the summer, or work here for most of your summer for your life.
Are you saying that tractor driving is the next competition?
Yeah, we could do race tractors. I'm sure we could do that.
Brought to you by John Deere.
I like contacting Smiley or somebody over at UNC and seeing if we could do like a free throw competition. That'd be easy enough.
We got to get Bruce in on that.
Well, Bruce was in on the race. He called it. He started us off. I don't know. We could throw some other, but it was fun. It was a good race.
Did you get that online? Is there video of it?
Yeah. A few people filmed it. Greeley Lifestyle Magazine, Tara, was out there with her wonderful husband, and she took pictures, and she got one. Did you see it yet, Mike?
I did not.
All right, I'm going to show it to you. Where is it? Check that out. You see it?
That's a great picture.
It was a great
that
picture.
That looks like the cover of next week.
Yeah, it was a great
next
picture.
Month. Let's. How about the April issue be the whole show issue?
It was. So Tanner had been kind of playing it coy. He was all, oh, you're going to win and all that stuff. Well, so at like 10:45, Michael, he disappears. We're at Big City Roadhouse. He disappears. I'm like, where did he go? Yeah, maybe.
He was in the stall shooting up.
A little... performance enhancer or something.
I got a needle.
He comes back. He has a bandana on his head. He's wearing his wife's short shorts with tights underneath. He's got like a Lynyrd Skynyrd Freebird or some kind of shirt like that. And I was like, okay, he was ready to go. And I thought at that moment, okay, this is a mental, this was a mental game changer at that moment. But it didn't matter, of course. I still won. And it was a glorious moment. It was crazy, though, because everybody at Big City Roadhouse that was in there, Tanner gets up, like, hey, we're going to race. Everybody just clears out. It was like we were in high school getting ready to have a fight in the parking lot or something. It was, here we go, and then everybody just left, watched the race, and we all went back in and just had our lunch and beers and whatever.
Well, I joined the party at that time. So everybody left, I had my lunch, and then I left. And everybody
people were
in.
Asking about you, and I said, well, he couldn't get a scooter down here. Scooter was in the shop, couldn't make it down. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Basketball, there was a lot of craziness going on. Iowa beating Florida, Texas over Gonzaga, St. John's over Kansas. That was an incredible game. How about High Point over Wisconsin in the first round? Or Texas, had their first upset was the BYU game in the first round. They beat BYU 79-71.
Yeah, but BYU is like missing a big-time player.
Which one?
I don't know. I just heard it on the radio, so well, decided...
But that AJ guy, can't think of... What is his... How do you say his name? But he had 35 points in that game. I mean, it was a credible effort. There's a lot of key players missing some of these games. Like, last night, watching the UCLA-UConn game, UCLA has one of their best guys out. Texas Tech without one of their best guys out.
That's why I didn't pick Texas Tech.
I still thought they might overcome it because I've been caught in that trap before where it's like, oh, their key player's out. But yeah, they got smoked by Alabama.
You know, Florida used to be my champion. I picked Florida, and I went back on it because like everybody was picking Duke, and I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to be like everybody else. And I'll pick Duke because I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah,
and Duke didn't lose. They were behind by like 12.
Yeah, found a way. It was a wild, wild start to this tournament, for sure. And then last night's game, UCLA and UConn. I can't tell if I like Dan Hurley or if I don't like Dan Hurley. I can't tell if I like Mike Cronin or if I don't like Mike Cronin. Oh, wait. Mike Cronin, I don't like. Yeah, not a fan. You remember Mike Cronin, Michael. He's the head coach of UCLA, and he got a technical last night, and I don't know what he said. It didn't seem like he said anything, but the referees thought he did. Maybe it's just because his reputation's crappy. What do I mean? Because he says crap like this. You remember this about a month ago after UCLA got absolutely worked, and he was a reporter asked him about the crowd chanting. I think it was, I can't remember the kid, the school they played. Who's the school they played? I don't remember. But here's the reporter asking Mike Cronin about the fans chanting a certain player's name. Here it is.
What was your thought to the student section chanting Booker's name?
I could give a rat's ass about the other team's student section.
I just meant the overall the way that you
I would like to give you a kudos for the worst question I've ever been asked.
Did you like the preparation of the... Of
you really think I care about the other two?
No, I don't think you care about the other
two. Are you raising your voice at me?
No, I'm just...
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. Come on, dude.
No reason.
Come on, dude. Yes, you are. Everybody's standing here listening to you. Everybody, this is on camera. They can hear you. I answered the question. I could give a rat's ass about the other team's student section. I coach UCLA. I don't care about Michigan State students. I mean, who cares?
Yeah, it was against Michigan State. Yeah. That was Mike Cronin. I'm not a big Cronin fan. I haven't been a Cronin fan for a while. And then when he did that, it was even more annoying. So I was kind of like, who do I root for here in this game? Listen, both coaches are hard asses, man. They are tough on their students. And in the broadcast, you're hearing it, that their athletes love them for it. They have great relationships with these coaches. I get that. I do, but they both drive me crazy just watching them. the way they interact. I don't think Dan Hurley is that appealing when I'm watching his face and all these goofy facial expressions he's making during the game. Mike Cronin, I think, is kind of a jerk. But do I respect them as basketball coaches? Yeah. They get the most out of some really great players. So I was rooting for the lesser of two evils last night, and that was UConn.
I was rooting for throw a chair.
Yeah, true. I'd rather that, though, than some of the antics between these two guys. They both got a warning of a technical, Mike, a warning, because they both didn't have their team. At the same time, both coaches didn't have their players on the floor after the timeout had ended. You know why that is? Because they think they're bigger than that. They are so arrogant that they're like, we go out when we're ready to go out. I don't think I'm a big fan of either one. Thank you, Jake Geologist guy. I could not remember his name. It was Richie Saunders, the big name out of BYU that Michael was referencing. Oh, a lot of fun. Tournament overall, great time. It's weird, Michael, how Thursday, Friday, agree or disagree with me, Thursday, Friday, that's the best of March Madness. Thursday, Friday, the start. Saturday, Sunday, still pretty good, but not. It just doesn't have the same thing. I don't know why, but it's because it's day three and four of this craziness all day basketball. And then the following week, it's back to more normal sports schedule. The games are going to be at 4 o'clock on Thursday and Friday, so you kind of get away from this every 30 minutes a new game is tipping off, and while this one's tipping off, this one over here is ending in a crazy upset or a half court shot, whatever. Thursday, Friday, the best part about March Madness, and then it slowly goes down.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, it's all worthwhile if you are a huge basketball fan, but for the layperson, and for people in general, like you're looking for that upset. You're looking for the 12s over the 5s, and you get plenty of those. And you're looking for those close games, and you get those big-time games. Duke was behind.
Yeah.
They were the number one overall seed, and they were behind by 12.
And most people are rooting for Duke to lose, unless you pick them to win your bracket. But everyone
picked them to win my
bracket,
and I was rooting for them to lose.
High Point beating Wisconsin. I mean, that was a very crazy thing. So, Michael, so much for the whole idea that NIL and transfer portal stuff has killed what March Madness can be. You had a 9 over a 1. You had an 11 over a 3. 11 over a 6, a 12 over a 5, and then also a couple of scares in there, too. I mean, maybe we saw fewer Cinderella stories, but I still think there's going to be some of them. I mean, even the lower seeds are still respectable programs, though, you know?
Well, I think you're going to have more of this I think basketball is going to be less of a victim NIL, yeah. Because basketball, you still have to play the game. You can have the best players on the court and they shoot 30% while the other team shoots 60.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, what was happening to Duke. The other team was shooting 60.
It just
in
happens.
The first half.
It happens.
Like, that's just going to happen.
Basketball
sometimes
lends itself to that happen. You talk about not, you know, being a victim as much. Here is an example, though, of the NCAA being a victim. Dylan Darling was obviously the hero for St. John's in their win over Kansas. He didn't have any points until the last second shot. Dylan Darling, if you'll remember, went to a Big Sky school. And he was, wasn't he? He was the newcomer of the year last year, I believe. But he played for Washington State for 2 years, and then he played for Idaho State. And then he transferred. And he was a pretty good player. Pretty good player. Not amazing, but pretty good. Comes up with the game winner for St. John's, so that was a big moment. How about Utah State coach is about to take, probably going to take a new job over at Cincinnati. We'll keep our eyes on that. But listen to him talk about how NIL has changed specifically for Utah State. Listen to what he's saying.
NIL money, what has been your pick? With the importance of NIL money, what has been your pitch to people who our candidates to help you out in that area? And the second part is, how important has that been in your success?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's on every coach's mind right around the country. You know, you think about back in the day, it was, you know, what's your practice facility look like? What's the arena? Are you chartering? What's the deal? Now it's, hey, what's the budget, right? What's the school sharing with you? And then what's the donor base like? I know this. Our donor base has been incredible at Utah State. We went from $880,000 last year, probably the lowest budgeted team in the country to get an at-large bid, to this year to 2.4. We tripled it. The efforts that we made, we had a night out with the pros event. We brought Joe Mazzulla back, Sam Merrill, Nemus Kita. We raised about $300,000 that night. Guys like Tom Willis, Jim Lobb, Ken Alder, you know, our Jonathan Bolin just stepped up big time. We have a lot of great people, not just in Logan, but all over the state and Aggie Nation. So, you know, for 2 years in a row, our university, and it's not a knock. I'm not, you know, shedding negative light. We just weren't ready to do it. Our university didn't share revenue this year. So we opted in, but we got $0 from the university. So we knew as a staff, we got to spend about 70% of our time in the off season fundraising. And that's something I've always done, you know, at Youngstown State, Fairmont State, now Utah State. And then I had to really convince my wife that, hey, if we're going to ask people for money, we got to donate ourselves. So we ended up doing $150,000. I think we were the second biggest donors this year, you know, with NIL. And, you know, that I think it showed our donors and it showed our fan base how much our families invested in Utah State. So I think the sky's the limit. You know, football is really important in our university, too. Bronco Mendenhall is a great coach. So we want to be great in all sports. And I think that's the fight that every university has. And that's what I said yesterday with the administrators. They got a tough job. You know, ADs don't have it easy either. But we've made significant strides. We'll continue to work at it. And it's been a total group effort, but a lot of work.
All right, just listen to him talk. Listen, he's not wrong. I mean, he's a very intelligent coach. Like I said, Cincinnati's working on something right now to make him, from what I'm reading, all the rumors, maybe not. Maybe he stays at Utah State and goes to the Pac-12. But, Mike, he's talking about going from $800,000 to $2.4 million. He's donating $100,000 of his own money. So much of this now is just who's got the most. That's the competition now. Who can go out and raise as much money so we can keep our players and get new players? And does CSU have that in basketball? Do you think Colorado State has $2.4 million just for their program to spend? I can't imagine they do. Maybe they do, but it's all about the right donors, finding the rich people that support your program. You got to have a bunch of them, and that might just be the difference in the colleges. Is how many millionaires do you have supporting your program? Jake, the geologist guy, commenting on my thoughts on why things just fizzle as the first 2 days go on in March Madness. It's because the hype and honeymoon is over. Yeah, probably. But there's something about, Mike, knowing that there's a game on starting at 10 o'clock on Thursday, 10 o'clock Mountain on Thursday, and pretty much every 35 minutes a new game is going to start, and then you go back and forth, and it's madness, you know? And it's just happened so quickly. Upsets happen so quickly. I think that's part of it. It's all day, and you're just not used to having those kind of tournaments all day. And it's, listen, a lot of fun. I need a break, though. A break or two. At least a couple of days here from the college basketball side of things. 29 minutes after the hour, Mike. Let's jump out. Take a break here. You're listening to the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. Don't look now, but the Nuggets are complete. What does that mean for their championship hopes? We'll talk about it next.
Every single game. We have the madness on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
We're out at McCarty's Grill on Friday. That's out at the Eaton Country Club. Man, it's gorgeous out there. Just like, get up, look out the window at McCarty's Grill, and you can see the beautiful golf course. And so many people were coming by to hang out at the watch party, and then they were going out and golfing. It's just an awesome place, man. That's Eaton Country Club for you. Hidden gem of a golf course. I don't know. According to all the people on Friday, it didn't feel like a hidden gem. But absolutely love it. If you're interested in becoming a member out at the Eaton Country Club, check them out online first. Go to eatoncc.net, learn a little bit about them that way, and see what kind of public tournaments that they have open. And you could just go check that out, too. That's the Eaton Country Club. Tell them we sent you here from The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe. 35 minutes after the hour. Michael, the Denver Nuggets are starting to get going here. And it's, I think, you know, with Peyton Watson coming back, he comes back in his first game in a while against the Trailblazers. He played 20 minutes, had 14 points, still a little rusty, but 14 points for him in 20 minutes coming back. They're officially whole. Everybody was back on the roster. Everybody was back on the floor from the proposed plan at the start of the season. Nikola Jokic at the center position, Aaron Gordon at the power forward position, Cam Johnson at the small forward position, Christian Brown at the two guard, Jamal Murray at the point guard, Tim Hardaway Jr. coming off the bench first, or depending on how they do it, Bruce Brown, then also Peyton Watson. Those three guys, that's the plan. You notice someone I didn't mention, Jonas Valanciunas. He has been in a very interesting spot under David Adelman most recently. He's not been playing a ton. He played in the Memphis game a total of 6 minutes. He did not play in the Raptors game at all, and he did not play in the Trailblazers game at all. His minutes against the Lakers, he played 3. He had 19 against the Sixers. He had 5 against the Spurs. So as this team becomes whole, does that mean Jonas Valanciunas is going to be the guy that's odd man out? He was the only player that was a did not play coach's decision. Everybody else was healthy for this team. That suited up, I should say. I mean, you had Tyus Jones play 2 minutes. Roddy, I don't think, suited up in that game against Portland. Did Zeke Nagy go 2 minutes? Deron Holmes go 2 minutes? Spencer Jones played 11 minutes. Jalen Pickett played 2. He's back. Julian Strother played. He played 2 minutes. I'm perplexed by this. I like Jonas Valanciunas. It's going to be a smaller lineup when Joker is out, and this is what we were used to, because again, even in the playoffs, DeAndre Jordan didn't get a lot of real minutes once the playoffs started. So that's a little fascinating to me. Is this a purely an X's and O's thing, or is this David Adelman coming out? Did something happen? It was odd. Are we saying he's the reason? I mean, he hasn't been bad for Denver at all, but he was a healthy scratch against Portland and Toronto. Both of them are two games that they won. Now the NBA standings. I mean, I'm looking at the standings. There's 10 games left before the playoffs, and my question is, are we going to see Jonas actually play, you know, meaningful minutes in the playoffs? And I'm not so sure we're going to. Because, I mean, this is like the home stretch. This is when you want to be setting everything up for the actual playoffs here. So I'll be curious to see how this one plays out. We'll talk more Nuggets coming up a little bit later on the show. Also, top stories of the day. We got people getting paid. We got flag football. We have a bunch of weird stories to get into. We'll talk about it coming up. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I was out at Big City Roadhouse Thursday and started to get pretty hungry. All that beating Tanner and that race was starting to get to me. And I decided I'm going with the burrito. I'm a steak burrito. Oh my gosh, dude. So I want to go there right now. Mouth's watering just thinking about Big City Roadhouse. Their food is just so delicious. And again, the environment surrounded by the TVs, there literally is no better place in the area to go watch all the college basketball or the Avs and the Nuggets as they make their playoff push. All the while, you're enjoying some of the best food around. They mean business there. That's Big City Roadhouse. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show. Powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Top stories of the day coming up a little bit later. We'll get into it, but dudes are getting paid. We got flag football games going on. I didn't even know we had flag football happening this weekend, but we did. So I'm going to get into that, and maybe is it a bad look for the NFL players to actually try to play Team USA? Or they did play Team USA, and there were two different teams. Both of them kind of got smoked. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the show. So I'm looking forward to it. Also, Michael, the Rockies begin their quest on Friday afternoon. The Colorado Rockies set to start their season. And Tanner and I will both go in for one final haircut and a shave on Thursday.
The same time, same place?
I don't think same place, same day for sure. I'll probably get the haircut Thursday, then go home. And once I get home for the night, I'll shave. And then we're going to be clean shaven as we start up for day one. And the quest for 30 begins. Now Tanner and I team up. We team up on this. We were arch rivals for a moment. And now we are going to be on the same side for the beard hair challenge.
I'm glad you did the race before the Rocky season, because the aerodynamics of your would not be great with the very big homeless man beards.
Well, that's why I was getting a pretty thick beard going there for a moment, and so I shaved that Thursday. So I'm not necessarily ready, because Mike, it was so freaking hot. It was warm on was it Saturday? I got sunburned. And I was thinking about last August and July when I'm covered in hair and beard and how sweaty and annoying it all was having this thing. I'm not sure if I'm ready for this challenge, but we have committed to it. And we will not be shaving or cutting our hair until the Rockies win 30 games.
Is there an out?
No.
So there's no out. There's no like I can give, you know, $100 to the United Way or one of our fine nonprofits that
we love
here on the station.
We love nonprofits and we love to give back, but I don't think there's an out when it comes to this. This is a code. It's a code now. There are things beyond my control. Not more important, but just beyond my control. And this is one of those.
I'd make an out, because
no.
if it was going to August, I'd say that's it. That's no good.
No, we are prepared to go the season if we must. You know, and this set the parameter, by the way. It's not a carryover bet. So if they never win 30, let's just say they won 29 all year. It's not, now you have to wait until next year. No, bet ends either way when the Rockies win 30 or when the season is over. It's a season bet. If you're betting on the over amount of wins for the Rockies this year and they don't get it, it doesn't carry over into the next year and you can start stacking those wins along with it. It's not how it works. So either the Rockies get to 30 wins or the season ends, whichever comes first. I just hope for everyone's sake, including the Monforts, that we don't get to the end of the season and we're still unshaven.
I think this should also be a part of the Greeley Lifestyle magazine KFKA April episode.
Yeah, I think it would be a great thing. I think it'd be awesome. Now, here we go. We're hunkering down, man. We're ready to go.
I'll be in the background of the picture laughing.
The challenge is coming up. 48 minutes after the hour, Michael. Let's take a short break here. Coming up, top stories. Yeah, we got a lot of money being thrown around. And we're going to get to that coming up a little bit later on. And, the flag football stuff, I want to talk about that. More on the Denver Nuggets. More on just what David Adelman's plan is with Jonas Valanciunas. Also, Ryan Staub, former Buffalo quarterback. What did he have to say about Coach Prime and his coaching tactics? We'll discuss a little bit later on. Keep it here on The Whole Show.
The Hall of Fame Preps Talk. Listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cato June, All-Pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Join the Boys and Girls Club of Weld County for a night of celebration and impact at the 44th Annual Elegant Night Gala. Enjoy a wonderful evening honoring this year's champion of youth, Lori and Ellie Duran. You can hear from the 2026 Youth of the Year. And all the while, you're supporting a great local program that empowers local kids to thrive. Sponsorships, tables, and individual tickets are now available. Just check them out online at bgcweld.org/elegant night. All funds go directly to supporting Boys and Girls Clubs of Weld County. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Michael, how you doing, man? I mean, I haven't seen you in a while. I haven't talked to you in a while. You're very quiet today. I know we don't have a lot of Broncos news for you, buddy, but
we still have some Broncos news. But
what's the Broncos news?
Well, they signed a guy from the Bengals.
Yeah, safety.
Yeah,
yeah.
He'll be playing on special teams.
Pretty good. Yeah, very excited about that. That definitely equals my excitement level concerning, you know, compared to Jalen Waddle.
I'm sure a lot of people would have been like, finally they did something.
Well, they did do something before that, though, and that was trading for Jalen Waddle, which I think might actually be the biggest news in all of free agency. Even though it wasn't a free agency move, it was a move during free agency. I maintain it, man. I stand by it. I think that definitely moves the needle in terms of the Broncos being a Super Bowl competitor, a contender. They needed a weapon. They got it. And now we get to see Jalen Waddle with that hot, nasty, freaking speed in a Denver Broncos uniform with Bo Nix.
And now we have a guy who can tackle on special teams.
Hey, you're exciting. Yeah, good job. I know you're pumped about that. Exciting
tackle on special teams. Special
sure,
teams,
yeah.
So it's like, yeah.
It was a move we kind of thought maybe was it Tyson Anderson? Is that who it is?
I think so. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, they signed him to a one-year contract. 6'2", 205-pound safety. He was with the Bengals. Mainly a special teams guy, as Michael said.
Played a couple of games, like 6% of the snaps.
Yeah, not really one of those big moves that, you know, Broncos country really, really just was desperate to see, but it's an important move.
For safety, you're banged up.
Well, he's probably battling for the third or fourth spot on the depth chart at the safety position.
He's going to be battling for special teams.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, we'll take a quick break here. We got top stories of the day coming up. Also, a former quarterback for the Colorado Buffaloes had some things to say. A lot of people were rubbed the wrong way. Buy those things. We'll get to it coming up next. It's The Whole Show. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.